This is Comic Talk Today for Friday, March 9th, 2018. And welcome to the first ever episode of Comic Talk Today. Before I get started, I want to talk a little bit about what this show is about, because this show is going to be a little bit different than everything else that I do. So on the network, on the Nerd Legion network, we have a ton of podcasts, right? There's a DC podcast, there's a Marvel podcast, there's an indie podcast, you can say Star Wars podcast, Aftershock. All right, we do all kinds of stuff, all kinds of different topics. Every so often we have certain things that come up in the news that I want to talk about, and I don't really have a place to put that out, in particular if I want to do it in a timely fashion. So there are places where we can do, like, if a movie comes out or a TV show, a couple of us can get together and find a place to put it. But over time, the Nerdy Legion podcast feed has become a little bit of a catch-all. And I want to have a place where we can do that separately, and this is going to be the place. So for the most part, yes, we are going to talk about comics. This will be mostly a solo podcast. But it's going to be a little bit different every single episode. And I'm doing that on purpose because I want to try to play with different formats. I want to try new things in podcasting. I want to try to do some video stuff. I want to try to do streaming stuff. Because I'm sure that, like me, a lot of you that listen to the podcast that we do have very varied tastes. And so this podcast is going to be very varied. There will be some days where I just want to talk about news. There's some days where maybe I want to talk about comics that I read. There may be days where I just want to rant about a particular topic. And this is going to be the place to do it. So welcome to Comic Talk Today. This first episode is going to be news heavy. So let's talk about the news, because there's been a lot of stuff going on. And I think today the news is going to be very DC centric. So if you're a Marvel fan or DC fan or wherever else, then I'm sorry, you might not have anything for you in this one. Maybe on the next one. I think the biggest news of the week for me has been the DC Black Label stuff. And so I think it's pretty apropos that I kind of start off talking about that a little bit. So DC's been announcing all these imprints over the last couple of weeks, right? So they've had the Zoom imprint. There's like a young adult line. We've already had Young Animal for a little while, where it's more of an indie feel. DC still has Vertigo, which that's about to relaunch as well. But I think the DC Black Label stuff is the most interesting to me right now. Because sure, I have young kids and I could introduce them to those younger audience lines, but ultimately, I'm just a DC fan. And Black Label excites me because it's going to be really great creators. I'm going to put great in quotes, because once I read these off, I'm sure there will be some people who disagree with the level of greatness. But it's going to be great creators doing their own thing on their own schedule, without the need to fit stuff into continuity, without having to worry about editorial, any of that stuff. And I think it's really interesting, because we're seeing a whole lot of this in the comic industry, in particular at DC, as they try to move into a format that will allow them to put out books in collected editions. Collected editions are a great boost for them, and that's kind of where they've been going. I think so far the most successful of those would be like Sean Murphy's White Knight, which I think just finished this week, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. I don't remember how many issues it was. We had last year or the year before, I don't know, it was delayed a lot. So The Dark Knight 3, The Master Race, that was out. Those are the kind of books that I feel, based on the announcement of DC Black Label, is kind of the type of thing that we're going to see moving forward. Now, for launch, they've only announced 6 books, and I don't know what the plans are moving forward. I'm sure once DC puts these books out and they see how people react to the books, that they may announce other people coming in. I know Sean Murphy wants to do a White Knight 2. Maybe they'll put that in here as well. But the books are going to start launching in August. I don't know if they gave an exact date, but August is going to be big for DC. We'll talk about that in a few, because there's another big DC announcement that's kicking off in August. So August will be the launch date for DC Black Label. It's going to be launching with Superman Year One. Now, I'm not sure what to think about this yet, so let me shoot the team out to you. We've got Frank Miller writing, John Romita Jr. on art. Now, I think out of all the books that were announced for DC Black Label, this may be probably the most divisive for some people. Because I think right now, both of these creators are kind of love or hate for a lot of people. I'm not sure if there's anybody in between. I know I've been hearing a lot about Frank Miller's work as of late from different people. Your circle of friends may be a little bit different. I know within the circles that I run in, a lot of people are not as happy with Frank Miller's work as they used to be. And I think that's understandable because I don't feel like the quality has been as high as some of his earlier stuff. And I'm sure there's been a lot of different reasons why this is true, right? So the illness, the incident he had in New York and all this other stuff. There's a lot going on. I remember when Dark Knight Master Race came out, a lot of people were a little upset because this was billed as a Frank Miller story, but there were other people writing the book. So we'll see. We'll see how it is. But Superman Year One, Frank Miller. John Romita Jr. is another, I would say, divisive person. I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of John Romita Jr. I think there are some books where the type of art that he creates lends itself better to that type of story, right? So like the kick-ass stuff, I think it works well there. I remember picking up like an Avengers book 10 years ago, maybe. I think it was Bendis and Romita Jr. And I ended up dropping that book because of that. And, that's another one that I hear similar things from people. And it's kind of a love it or hate it. Because I know plenty of people that love Romita Jr. stuff. And I understand why. It's just not my cup of tea. That's what the book is the imprint is launching with, Superman Year One. I have high hopes for it, even though I'm not a huge fan of the creative team. But I think it'll be interesting to see how these two very long-time creators tackle the Superman mythology. In particular, now that DC is about to relaunch all the Superman titles, right? So with Bendis coming aboard to DC, he's going to be doing pretty much the entire Superman section of the universe. They're going to relaunch all those books with a new number one. And maybe that's the reasoning behind this. And I hope it goes well for him. I will pick it up. I do hope that as the first launch title, it will be top-notch. So even though they're letting these creators do whatever they want, I do hope, based on some of the past works and the past controversies behind these two creators, I hope that DC does put a lot of focus on making this the best possible book to launch this line. Either way, it's going to sell gangbusters, right? Because plenty of people love Miller and John Romita Jr., so it will sell well. But again, if it's to set up the line, I want it to be above and beyond stuff that we've been seeing as of late. The next book on the list is Batman Damned. Matter of fact, there's two different Batman books. So Batman Damned is Brian Azzarello and Lee Bermejo. And I gotta tell you, when I saw Azzarello and Bermejo, I didn't even want to read what the rest of this thing was about. I was immediately sold. I think for me, this may be one of the more interesting of these books. There's a couple Wonder Woman books that we'll talk about later. I'm looking forward to those as well. But Batman Damned, I think it has the potential to be something really special. And part of the reason is it's a Constantine story as well. So I'm going to read the synopsis, and you tell me what you think. On a deserted Gotham City bridge, a body is found. Whispers spread the news. Joker is dead. But is this a dream come true or a nightmare being born? Now Batman and DC's outlaw magician, John Constantine, must hunt the truth through a Gotham City hellscape. The city's supernatural recesses are laced with hints about a killer's identity, but the Dark Knight's descendant to horror will test his sanity and the limits of rationality, as he must face a horror that doesn't wear a mask. I don't know what any of that means. Listen, you had me at the creative team. Then you brought Constantine in. Sign me up. The next one I'm not so sure about, though. And that's Batman Last Night on Earth. And if I'm not mistaken, originally... So the writer is Scott Snyder, who's been doing Batman for a long time. And originally, the artist on this book was going to be Sean Murphy. Now, my assumption is, based on the success of White Knight, Sean Murphy is just going to be continuing that and maybe similar type of stories. Or, you know, there could be secret projects as well. So the new artist on this book is Greg Capullo. Now, Metal's going on right now. I think the last issue of Metal comes out at the end of this month. And I have not been reading it. I read the first issue. I started the second one and I kind of lost interest. There's been something missing for me from Scott Snyder's work. And I'm not sure what it is because I used to love Snyder. His stuff on Detective was fantastic. When he took over Batman for the New 52, it was fantastic. I guess maybe the first two arcs. After that, it kind of dropped in quality a little bit for me, but it remained fairly strong until somewhere in the 30s, then went downhill a little bit more, and then after issue 42, when Gordon took over the Batman mantle, it kind of went a different direction. And I think a lot of Batman fans feel that way. But as many of you know that listen to stuff that I do, I am very critical of what DC does with Batman overall. So anyway, for me, Scott Snyder is not a seller. Obviously, that's not true for the majority of the people reading comics. Because if you look at sales numbers for like DC Metal, it's like top five, right, every month. And it's been plagued with some delays, and I think some of those delays are because of Greg Capullo, who's doing the art on that book. And if that's the case, and he's the one on this book... it concerns me about the scheduling. So I know that part of DC Black Label is that they're going to let the creators set their own schedule, set their own format, create their own stories. But the thing is, I think it's important to have somewhat of a consistent schedule if you're going to be putting out a book and keeping people interested. And if they can't hold on to that kind of schedule, then I'm not sure if I want to read the book. Because the synopsis sounds awesome, and I'll get to that in a second. But the creative team is what concerns me right now, based on stuff that I see. Because I want, if I pick up a book, I want it to, number one, be on a consistent schedule. So I don't care if you do it every 2 weeks, every 4 weeks, every 2 months, like four times a year, I don't care. But when the book is announced, if you tell me you're going to put this out every month, then I want it every month. And then I don't want you to start another book until you have this book on schedule. Okay, and I'm not going to talk about Black Mask, but, you know, that's one issue that I've had there. So, we'll see how that goes. But, let's talk about the synopsis. Batman wakes up in a desert. He doesn't know what year it is, or how the Joker's head is alive in a jar beside him. But it's the beginning of a quest unlike anything the Dark Knight has undertaken before. In this strange future, villains are triumphant and society has liberated itself from the burdens of ethical codes. Fighting to survive while in search of answers... Bruce Wayne uncovers the truth about his role in this new world, and begins the last Batman story ever told. Now, of course, this is not the last Batman story ever told, but I like that Snyder is willing to play with the mythology. And this Joker in a jar thing, like, this sounds awesome. And this almost feels like a very Mad Max-y type of world. I don't know if anybody listening to this has been reading Gotham City Garage, but... you know, I think, I want to say it's a digital first book, and I'm not sure what the schedule on that is either. I want to say maybe 2 weeks, but I think it's fantastic because it reimagines a lot of characters, it reimagines the DC universe in a particular way that really appeals to me. A little iffy about the creative team, but I hope that I'm proven wrong because the synopsis sounds awesome. So next up is Wonder Woman Historia. This is Kelly Sue DeConnick. With Phil Jimenez and Romulo Fajardo Jr. on art. And if the cover image of this book is any indication as to what the interior is going to look like, I am really looking forward to it. I think this may be Kelly Sue DeConnick's like first big DC work. So even though it's in this black label, you know, separate from continuity, I think that's important. Of course, the Wonder Woman story, so having a female creator, I think, is key. Phil Jimenez does some of the most beautiful women in the DC universe, and I have high hopes for this. And this is kind of a historic telling of the history of the Amazons. I want to say this is the only book where they actually discussed the breakdown of the issues. So I don't think they discuss how many of the other ones are, or like if they're going to be a trade format or a prestige or whatever it is. This one is going to be 3 books. I'm assuming probably oversized 3 books. And it's going to tell the story from the beginning of the Amazons through when Hippolyta rose to power, all the way through until Steve Trevor washes up on Paradise Island. And I think that's really amazing. I think the stuff that we saw in Wonder Woman, right, at the beginning, I know some people didn't like it because it was very CG and the CG wasn't the greatest, but I do love that type of epic fantasy storytelling. And it gave me like that Lord of the Rings vibe. If this is something that they're going to put into a book and guide us through the story, then I'm all for it. So I'm very excited for Wonder Woman Historia. The other one that's really interesting, this is still a working title, so it may change, is Wonder Woman, Diana's Daughter. And this is Greg Rucker writing, who has done some of the greatest Wonder Woman stories. He's been, well, he's not on it now, but he was working on the Rebirth Wonder Woman book. And an unknown artist. And I think it's interesting that Rucker is doing this, and I wonder if some of this wouldn't have ended up being part of his Wonder Woman story had they let him continue on the book, or had he wanted to continue working on the book. Or maybe it's something that he pitched and DC just kind of said, well, there's no way we can do that. Let's stick with Wonder Woman as she is. And I look forward to it. So it takes place 20 years in the future. This also seems maybe a little post-apocalyptic. I'm not sure. Maybe not so much post-apocalyptic, but maybe more dour than we used to see in these hero stories. So here's the description. It's been 20 years since the world stopped looking to the skies for hope, help, and inspiration. Now the world keeps its eyes down, and the powers that have risen have every intention of keeping things that way. Amongst a scattered, broken resistance, a young woman seeks to reclaim what has been forgotten. And on the way, we'll learn the truth about herself, her heritage, and her destiny. So, I mean, based on the subtitle, Diana's Daughter, we can maybe assume it's Diana's daughter. I think with Rucka, this may be more of a Diana's Daughter in spirit kind of thing. Somebody taking over the Wonder Woman mantle. I think this could be a good one. I always love everything that Rucka does, in particular, in relation to Wonder Woman. So I'm looking forward to this one as well. And the last one, I think, is the most different of all the other books. And that's The Other History of the DC Universe. This is John Ridley, who did, I believe he's the writer for 12 Years a Slave, Oscar award-winning movie from a couple years ago. He's going to be tackling, it looks like, minority characters within the DC Universe, but with a different focus. And this almost gives me the feel of like maybe an anthology series. I know I was talking to somebody and they mentioned a book like Marvels, if anyone has ever read that. I think something like that is really interesting. And I think it's a good time for DC to tell that type of story. I don't know if they announced all the characters, but I know in what I read, it's going to have Jon Stewart, Extraño, Vixen, Supergirl, Katana, and Renee Montoya. Ooh, I love Renee Montoya, so I'm very excited for that. And it's going to focus on the lives of these heroes behind the costume and how their being heroes impacts their real-world lives and how they can overcome these very real-world issues. So I think that's going to be interesting. We'll see how it goes. I tend to try to shy away from heavy political commentary in my comics, and I wonder if this book is not going to be that. It does give me the feeling that it will be, but at the same time, if done correctly, I think there is definitely a way to tell a story in comics that will make sense and deal with real world issues without, like, beating down some kind of message to the reader. Because that's, you know, some people get alienated by that kind of thing and end up not liking the book if you beat them too much with that. So we'll see how that goes, but I'm very interested in this. The other history of the DC Universe. Very, very interested. Very briefly, I want to talk about the announcement that Kristen Wiig was going to be in Wonder Woman 2 and that she was going to be playing Cheetah. Now, I haven't seen any reaction from this. I try to stay away from forums and Facebook groups and all that. So I don't know what the reaction is. My assumption is a lot of people are upset because Kristen Wiig, I think for a large chunk of her career, has kind of played the clown a little bit. And I think those people maybe don't know her career. I happen to be somewhat familiar because Kristen Wiig is one of my wife's favorite actresses. And sure, she started in SNL as a comedian, but over time she's done a lot of very interesting roles, oftentimes very depressing, meek characters who have a tough time in life. And it seems to be true for a lot of comedians now that I think about it. You know, they either play the clown or they play, like, somebody totally depressed. Like, what's the other one? Steve Carell from The Office. He did that quite a bit as well. Anyway, so Kristen Wiig as Cheetah, I think, is an interesting choice. For one, I like the fact that they would pick an older actress to pair alongside Gal Gadot, which I think is particularly important now, right? Like, I don't want to get into social commentary, but, you know, with the Me Too movement and all this other stuff popping up, I think we're seeing a trend in Hollywood where you don't want to just cast a young, pretty actress in a stereotypical role. You want to try maybe a young, pretty actress dressed down in an ugly role, or an older, I don't want to say washed out because that'd be a bad term, but let's say somebody whose career has been kind of on the down, on the decline for a while, try them in a leading person role. And I think all that depends on the overall structure of how the movie's formatted, but Patty Jenkins did quite well with the first movie. I think DC is definitely trusting her in that. I'm not sure what her role in the casting decision is, but I think Kristen Wiig is actually a really good choice because she has an extremely wide range of acting skills that I think a lot of actresses don't have, or maybe they just haven't been allowed to show off. Like I said, my wife loves Kristen Wiig, so I've seen all those indie flicks that she does, and I think it's an interesting choice. In particular, if they choose to do the Cheetah that Greg Rucka's been doing with the DC Rebirth stuff, or was doing. That character is a little bit different than the previous incarnations of Cheetah, and it's kind of a more meek role turning into this powerful Cheetah person. And I look forward to that. So, Kristen Wiig, I'm on board. Sign me up. Since we're on the discussion of new DC announcements, I think one of the biggest things, and this is probably older news by now, this came out, I think, last week, was the original announcement. I did see an interview with between Jim Lee and Neil Gaiman on YouTube, where they expanded a little bit more on what this is. But if you guys didn't know, it's going to be the 30th anniversary of Sandman in October. And I don't know if any of this had anything to do with the decision to relaunch, but Neil Gaiman is launching a Sandman universe within DC. And I gotta tell you, I did not see this coming, even though we do see Sandman characters in DC Metal. So I find that pretty interesting that I'm sure it's not a coincidence. Although I doubt that there's gonna be any kind of crossover between the Sandman stuff in Metal and the Sandman stuff that the Sandman universe is going to do. So before I continue the discussion, I wanna play the original Sandman universe announcement.
Hello. I'm Neil Gaiman. When the Sandman launched, in October 1988, I never imagined that the series would run for almost 8 years. Watching Dream's popularity flourish over the course of the series was exhilarating and humbling. But I always knew the story would eventually end. DC was gracious enough to allow me to resolve the story on my own terms, and I and Morpheus laid to rest in 1996. But still, there were corners of the Sandman world waiting to be explored, and we're going to explore them. In honor of the Sandman's 30th anniversary, and as part of the celebration of 25 years of Vertigo Comics, I'm here to announce the new Sandman universe. It's all going to start in a Sandman special, which will introduce spaces beyond the dreaming. It's going to introduce a new house, like the House of Mystery and the House of Secrets, called the House of Whispers and its mysterious proprietor. Following the special, we're going to be unfurling four brand new series written and drawn by the most incredible collaborators I could ask for. The four writers dreaming this dream with me are the best in the business. They're Cy Spurrier, Nalo Hopkinson, Dan Waters, and Kat Howard. I'm really lucky and happy to be introducing everybody to a new chapter of the Sandman saga, and to introduce more of the worlds that I created in the past and bringing them back. I hope you're going to join me and a wonderful group of artists and writers. And with your help, we'll create more than a little bit of magic in the new Sandman universe.
All right, so this is going to be launching in August 8th of this year. So again, August, big, big month for DC with DC Black Label and the Sandman universe stuff. It's going to be Cy Spurrier doing the dreaming. And I love Cy Spurrier stuff. I'm very interested to see what he does here. He did a cross over at Avatar, if I'm not mistaken. And Six Gun Gorilla is one of my favorite things ever. So I'm very excited for that. Speculative fiction writer Nalo Hopkinson is doing the House of Whispers, which is a new house in this Sandman mythology. Dan Waters is going to be doing Lucifer, and he's done some stuff on Shadow that I'm familiar with, and it was really interesting. I think if he brings that like noir grit to Lucifer, mix that in with the magic fantasy stuff, I think that could be really, really awesome. And then fantasy author Kat Howard is doing Books of Magic. Now, this last one is the one I'm least familiar with. I know she had a novel a couple of years ago. I believe she is a protege of Gaiman's. So she did some short stories in an anthology that Gaiman did. I believe Gaiman edited her novel, and I can't remember the name of it, but it's like a fairy type magic stuff. It's like an artist commune next to Fairyland kind of thing, if I'm not mistaken. And so I think that's going to be perfect for Books of Magic. Whether I want to buy four books set in this universe, I'm not quite sure yet. And I'll be honest, I purchased a run of Sandman, I want to say last year, and I just recently started reading it, and I've only read 3 issues. Now, I have read Sandman before, not all the way through. I did drop off here and there. But this announcement has me excited to go ahead and read, I want to say, 75 issues run before all this stuff comes out in August. So I got to make some time and carve it out and read that stuff before this comes out. But I'll definitely be picking up The Dreaming by Cy Spurrier. And I'm very interested in Books of Magic, because the original Books of Magic book was actually really quite good. So we'll see how it goes. I'll probably just do the first. You know what? I'm a liar. I'm probably going to pick all these up, at least for a few issues to see how they are. But Neil Gaiman's Sandman universe, very excited. Gaiman is not going to be writing. He's going to do the Sandman universe one-shot that's going to launch this universe. And then after that, he's going to oversee the stories. I don't think he's editing. He's just, it kind of seemed like if any of these people want to talk to Neil about this mythology, then they can call him at any time. He'll provide input. But other than that, he's going to be kind of hands off. And I like that. I like that DC is taking a chance. You know, we're seeing that with DC Black Label and now with the Sandman Universe stuff. So I'm looking forward to that August 8th of this year. And then the last piece of news that I want to discuss on this premiere episode of Comic Talk Today is literally breaking news. Like, this was just announced like an hour or two ago. And I'm going to read the headline. Joker origin film to portray Batman villain as failed 80s comedian. If you're aware of my love of Batman, and if you're not, welcome. Let the love fill you. You know I have a lot of things to say about anything relating to Batman. I think by now I've calmed down a little bit. But when I read this original headline, my initial thought was, what? But then I thought about it a little bit and it kind of made a little bit more sense. So this is still going to be the rumored Joaquin Phoenix Joker. Okay, so not Leto. This is the Joaquin Phoenix movie. And I don't think they've nailed the contract yet, so it's not set in stone. But this is the film that they're looking at Joaquin Phoenix to do. And, you know, say what you will with Joaquin Phoenix. I think he's a great actor. He tends to do oddball roles. But I think that's just the kind of person he is and the type of story he wants to be involved with. So I have high hopes that his Joker will be great. Because you gotta remember, when Heath Ledger was announced as the Joker, everybody thought it was a joke. And then he's ended up becoming, quite possibly, the best Joker on any type of visual media that has ever come out. So, don't knock it till you try it, is what I say. And Joaquin Phoenix is a great actor. But the plot seems a little weird at first, but also it makes sense, right? Because if you ever read The Killing Joke, Alan Moore makes the Joker a failed comedian. And he gets involved with these criminals, they go on this hike, he gets set up. Now, that story's also been retold in a few different ways, by a few different people, several different times. But the story makes sense. And if that's the kind of thing they're going after, I'm all for it. Because the Killing Joke animated film, to me, was very lackluster. And if this could be made into somewhat of an adult version of that, while also maybe appealing to a slightly broader audience than The Killing Joke would, count me in. Because I'm going to tell you, there's not enough comic book fans in the world to make the Joker film a successful franchise. Well, a movie, maybe franchise. If they don't allow the movie to become a little more broadly appealing. And I think part of having Joaquin Phoenix in that role can help get a certain demographic to watch the film. Now, it may put some people off as well, so we'll see how it goes. But that's part of the reason that Scorsese is involved, apparently. Because in the 80s, Scorsese did King of Comedy, which was Robert De Niro as a failed comedian who can't catch a break. And apparently, Scorsese is going to be advising on this film, and there's going to be a lot of nods to King of Comedy. So I find that interesting. I wonder if maybe this wasn't originally pitched as a King of Comedy reboot. You know, and maybe not even like an official reboot, but you know, Hollywood likes to rethink stories sometimes, kind of as an homage to the original without specifically making it an explicit clone of the original. But I'm very curious to see how this will end up being. What I found the most fascinating about this announcement, aside from that, is that the rumor based on this film is that DC plans on doing an expansive cinematic universe where they'll have like the canon stories, so the stuff that's in Batman or the Batman, Justice League, Wonder Woman, the Flashpoint, if that ever comes out, Aquaman, those movies, and there's going to be like a side type of movie where they are able to tell stories about characters without worrying about the canon of the films. And part of that to me sounds really awesome. And part of that to me is really weird. because that's exactly what they're doing in the comic books. But at the same time, in the comic books, they've been publishing for 80 years. Now, yeah, we've had a bunch of DC movies, but in terms of the DC cinematic universe, that's been kind of a very small set of films. Right? So, like, Batman v Superman, arguably Man of Steel, that depends who you ask. Obviously, Wonder Woman, Justice League, Aquaman, Flashpoint, whatever else is coming out. So to do that with the films seems a little odd, because there's not an already set DC film universe that is strong and cohesive and popular, right? So that's one of the problems that DC has had, is the films have not been as successful as the Marvel films have been. And Marvel has done an amazing job at keeping all those movies together and trying to tell a story throughout the past, you know, 10 plus years that is somewhat interconnected, that allows the universe to expand and, you know, make sense together. And apparently maybe some of that even into TV and movie, into TV. And I don't want to talk about that now, but I've heard the rumblings about, you know, tying in S.H.I.E.L.D. to some of this stuff. There's apparently a lot of Easter eggs in Jessica Jones season 2 that relate to, like, Civil War. So really interesting stuff. DC hasn't done that, right? They haven't caught the zeitgeist to be able to say, hey, we're going to have these films in canon. Let's also do these films that expand on what we have, but maybe appeal to a different audience. I don't know how successful that's going to be. I think for the comics, it'll work great. For TV and film, I guess we'll see. Well, I mean, I guess theoretically in TV it's working okay, right? So we've got the Arrowverse with Arrow, Flash. I guess Black Lightning's not the Arrowverse. Legends of Tomorrow. And we'll see how it goes. But I thought that bit of news was really interesting. And that's something that I haven't seen anybody talk about. Now, sure, this news is brand new, so I'm probably not even looking for it. But we'll see. I think that's going to be it for the news. I hope you enjoyed this first episode of Comic Talk today. I've been thinking about this show for like, 6 months probably. There's so much that I want to do, and I wanted to make sure that I was able to carve a little bit of time every week to be able to put this out on a regular basis. Because like I said, I want to do the audio stuff. I want to try different things with the audio. I want to try to do some video stuff on YouTube. I want to try to do some streaming stuff on Twitch. And it's not always going to be me, because I want this show to be like an all-encompassing thing in celebration of like geek culture, you know? So I know I've talked to somebody who does a podcast on this network about doing a Therapy Thursday segment. I don't want to reveal what that is yet, but that's going to be very interesting if it goes like I'm hoping it will go. I'm going to bring creators on and not interview them, because to be frank, as much as I like interviewing, I think some of the creators kind of get tired of being interviewed. So I have some ideas on how to do creator interviews without actually interviewing them. And I'm not going to talk about that today. There's going to be all kinds of stuff. There's going to be a weekly or maybe bi-weekly segment called The Rant. If you want to think about what that can mean, I think it's probably pretty obvious. And I'm going to try all different kinds of things. So let me know what you want to see on this show, or here, I guess, for now. There will be no video probably for another week or so, but that will be coming out. You can find me on Twitter, at Geekvine. That's going to be the best place. There is an email. You can email nerdylegion@gmail.com, but Twitter is going to be the best place to find me and the most immediate. I hope you enjoy it. See you next time.